Before
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the committee and the believers in this area for inviting us along and to share these good things, and for all the laborers who have worked behind the scenes. And it's just a great privilege to be here. Turn again, please, to 2 Timothy 4, just for a few verses. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, grace be with you. Amen. Does the road wind uphill all the way? Yes, to the very end. Will the journey take the whole long day? From morning till night, my friend. Day is coming to a close. The sun is setting in 2 Timothy chapter 4. A long day of apostolic service is drawing to a close for God's great little man. His body bears the battle scars of his sacrificial service. He has already handed in his wound report in 2 Corinthians. In labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Behold, beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The fight he has fought, the faith he has kept, the course he has finished. Soon, Nero's executioner will dispatch him home to glory. The old soldier is packed and ready to move out and waiting for the last command. Before he goes, he has some final duties to perform. He must pass on the orders of the day to the young warrior who is coming up, not strong, not robust, but the young warrior who is going to step in some degree at least, to perform the ministry. So in the light of last battles, final judgments, eternal reward, Paul sounds the last charge, raises the last warning, hands in his last report, gives his final salute and says his last Amen. He sounds his last charge and it comes out like 5 staccato blasts of the trumpet. Preach the word. Herald the word. I feel here he is speaking about the gospel because that's the word that's used in other parts of the scripture to describe the exercise of preaching the gospel. Preach the gospel. A number of times it has been referred to in our conference, the poverty in many areas of the preaching of the cross. There is in fact a movement that would say that we should not preach the gospel in our assembly buildings. Let me say, the preaching of the cross is a distinct experience, quite different than the teaching of the Sunday school class or the Bible class or the ministry of gospel doctrines. The preaching of the cross reaches the mind, the heart, and the soul, and the spirit. At least it ought to. I have a little poem in the front of my old Bible, surrounded by a border with these words written in red crayon above them. Beware. These are the words. His sermon had the usual heads and subdivisions fine. The language was as elegant and graceful as a vine. It had a proper opening. It was polished as a whole. It had just one supreme defect. It failed to reach the soul. I fear that characterizes some preaching, especially that which pertains to the gospel. My colleague Neil Dougal went to an assembly and he was asked after the first meeting or so if he would not preach so strongly, especially it would be appreciated if he did not mention judgment or hell. Because the answer was, the reason was, there are people who come here out of the neighborhood who wouldn't necessarily like that, and they may not come back. My colleague said, "Brother, what happens if they get killed in the car going home?" And I haste to add, I'm sure that when the Lord Jesus spoke of hell and judgment, he did it with a breaking heart. He didn't shout and spit at the people as though he wished they were going to hell. But I believe with deep love and compassion, with a full knowledge of all it would cost him to make a way of escape, and he preached it, it was with tenderness and compassion for the lost. But the preaching of the cross, there are two things that expose our spiritual condition to all who hear us. One is the preaching of the gospel, and the other is the worship of God. When a man stands to worship God at the Lord's Supper, he exposes his true spiritual condition to all who are there. You cannot fake worship. And you cannot fake the preaching of the cross. We can give lectures, cold, orderly, ice-bound, sterile lectures, and never expose ourselves. When we get up to preach the cross to the souls of men, it is not long until we expose what our true heart really is. And this may be one of the reasons why the preaching of the gospel is so scarce among us, because we become very private people, living in our own homes, jumping in our own cars, going to our own meetings and back again to our own homes. And we don't perhaps like to be transparent. Paul says, Timothy, whatever you do, herald the gospel, the greatest message on the face of the earth. The gospel of God, the gospel of His Son, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Paul was thrilled with the gospel. Was it Spurgeon who said, why be a king when you could be a gospel preacher? I believe that we are allowing the gospel gift to wither on the vine. And when we detect gospel gifts in a young man, let us put our arms around him and take him with us. Let us teach him the basic elements of this wonderful privilege. A young man said to me in Seattle, I feel God is calling me to preach the gospel. What should I do? How do I prepare myself? We spoke a little of the spiritual preparation, and I suggested to him, master the doctrines of Romans and the language of John. I believe therein are the basic tools of the gospel preacher. Preach the gospel. What a thrill to see the power of God at work in the preaching of the cross. My friend, if your assembly does not have gospel preaching as a regular exercise, it will soon become anemic and weak, self-centered, and, I fear, taken up with the problems. But it's when we become evangelistic in heart, and the preaching and declaration of Christ, the saints come together, we are drawn to one another, and often knotty problems are left aside while we go on with the work of fulfilling the great commission to preach the gospel to every creature. Be instant, in season and out of season, and that just simply carries the idea of standing by, at the ready. Here's the young soldier standing at the ready, waiting for a command, following the example of Paul, I am ready to preach the gospel. Oh, how many times I have not been ready. Even on a personal basis, to deal with souls. He was always ready. To be ready involves a certain spiritual condition. Involves communion with God, a sensitivity to the needs with whom we come in contact. Reprove. To expose to the light the true nature of things. To rebuke. Not to be afraid to deal with errors. To exhort, stir up to a flame, smoking embers. This was the last charge that Paul sounded to this young preacher. Preach, be instant, be at the ready, expose the true nature of things, rebuke error if you have to, stir up to a flame, the love, the zeal of the Lord's people. He raises his last alarm like four red warning flags. He warns of faithlessness relative to time. For the time will come when they will not endure healthful doctrine. And sound doctrine will be considered to be out of date. That's the old stuff. Relating to taste in verse 3. They lose their appetite for the sweet word of God. And like the Athenians, always be seeking some newer thing. Some newer thing. And if this is what we present in our assembly buildings, we'll attract people that want newer things, and when someone else across the road offers a newer thing, they'll be gone. But oh, we have something that we can excel in. Solomon had 60 men around his bed at night. They all held swords in the night, and the scripture says they were expert in war. Peter was not an expert with a sword. He was a fisherman. Not a swordsman. He aimed for a head and got an ear. The Lord said, Peter, that's not your business. Put up the sword. He was not expert in war. How wonderful to be, have God given expertise in the handling of the Word of God. Relating to teaching in verse 4. Faithlessness, where alternatives are always being sought, preferring fables or fiction. And the world feeds on fiction. It's stuffed full of fiction, the unreal. Entertainment and fiction. He warns against faithlessness relating to his testimony. Sobriety of life. Being sober is not being somber. Being sober is just what it is. Clear thinking, clear speech, and a steady walk. Thank God for a sense of humor. It sees us through many a difficult place so long as it's held in check. Suffer hardships, he says. And do the work of the evangelism. And I think that's been dealt with in the conference. We have to work at it. It's work. W-O-R-K, work. A young man said to me in Vancouver, just a teenage boy, senior in high school, he said, I feel God has called me to be a gospel preacher. Where should I begin? I said, you see all those hymn books lying around there? Yes. I said, pick them up and stack them on the table over there. He says, what's that got to do with gospel preaching? I said, absolutely nothing. But you can't preach the gospel tonight. You can pick up the hymn books tonight. Work is doing what God puts into our hand today. Do it well, and God will give you another job to do. All gift is developed the same way. Too much time in spiritual exercise is burned up finding out what gift I have. A doctor in the West came to me after a series of meetings, the last meeting. He said, Brother Nicholson, what is your gift? Do you know what it is? Well, I said, Brother, I love to preach the gospel. God helps me. There's no greater luxury. Would you call me a gospel preacher? But on the other hand, I just love to try and open up the scriptures and feed the saints. Would you call me a teacher? But I love to help and comfort those too. I don't know what my gift is. Oh, he says, you've got to know what your gift is. Well, I said, what do you think it is? He says, what do you like to do best of all? Oh, I said, I can't tell you that. Well, he says, supposing God said to you, Nicholson, from now on you can only do one thing. What would it be? Well, I said, God doesn't give me hypothetical wisdom for hypothetical questions. And I said, supposing that did happen, and I just had one thing to do, I think at my stage of life and at this stage of history, I think I'd want to encourage God's people to press on. Try and stir them up and bind them up and help them a little. Oh, he says, I know what your gift is. I said, good, what is it? He says, you're an exhorter. Well, thank you. Brother, sister, I don't care whether you call it being the janitor or whatever. The thing is, do what God gives you to do it and do it with all your might. God will soon direct you into the path he has called you. He will open up the circumstance. And he will give you the burden. And all gift is developed exactly the same way. Feed on the word. Fellowship with God. Submission to his will and doing what God has put in our hand today. Well, he hands in his last report. The verse that's been the theme of our conference. The great servant writes out his form. I have fought the good fight. I kind of like the way it is really in the text. It should read like this. The good fight, I fought. The course, I finished. The faith, I have kept. Great Paul. I love that, dear man. As a great example of our beloved Lord. Oh, the loyalty of this dear servant of Christ. And in his last report, And now the time is getting near. And he gives his last salute. Straightens up his old frame. And raises his last salute to the captain of his salvation. As the coming judge. Who shall judge the quick and the dead. As the coming conqueror. He speaks about the appearing. And at the appearing, he will deal with his enemies and he won't need an atomic bomb to do it. One word from his mouth and he will deal with his enemies in a moment. And he gives him his last salute as the coming king at his appearing and kingdom. Then he turns to another little company on the side, not there visibly, but always in his heart. He salutes his comrades in the battle. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, representatives of that great multitude of comrades in the battle. Oh, beloved, if we could only learn to stop fighting one another and fight the enemy. Yonder is the enemy. Sure, we have warts and wrinkles, and we all have personalities that are difficult to live with, but God help us in these last days to turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus as the great exemplar and face the enemy. The night falls. The last post is sounded. The flag is hauled down. And the last order comes. Move out. And God's noble soldier responds with his last amen. Amen. So be it. They come and get him. Take him outside the city. History tells us to the place of three fountains. Quite a lovely place. It may well have been that these represent to us the threefold ministry of the apostle in his life. Faith, hope, and love. And at the place of the three fountains, outside the city of Rome, Nero's executioner lifts the blade and with a single flash dispatches God's great servant home to see the face of the captain of his salvation. The combat is over. The conflict has ended. The chariot of fire from the dark clouds descended. Its drivers were angels on horses of whiteness. Its burning wheels turned on axles of brightness. A seraph unfolded the door, bright and shining, dazzling like gold of the seventh refining. The soul that is finished, the fight and the race, was carried to Jesus to look on his face. And as he goes up, we can almost hear him say, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." May it be so in our lives for the glory of the captain of our salvation.
Who can come forward and dismiss us with prayer for the high man?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful to know Thee, whom to know is life eternal. Remember Thy servant John, who said, "Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And as today, Lord, we've heard him exalted, our hearts are thrilled. We can say with another long ago, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? And, oh, Father, we're thankful that our beloved is white and ruddy. We're thankful, Lord, that he is altogether lovely. We're thankful for the first time that we drank of the well of salvation. And from the one who cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of him, Lord, shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, Lord, we pray that today, as we gazed on Christ, that we might be changed from glory to glory, even as into his likeness, the glory that excels, that we might be fashioned like him. And Father, we might face the foe afresh, and that we might, Lord, be enabled by thy grace to serve thee acceptably with reverence and godly fear until the day shall dawn. We're thankful, Lord, that the gospel is still thy power to salvation. We're thankful, Lord, that the day of rewards is coming, and he says in that day shall every man receive his just reward, that which belongs to him. Father, in the meantime, as we are now about to separate, we are so thankful that we know that we shall see his face. We've been singing, Lord, about that time when we shall meet. What a glorious day that will be, when we shall see him, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so, Lord, we just give our thanks and pray that these lessons regarding the apostle, and as he speaks of Christ, might fill our hearts, that we might, Lord, project ourselves to that moment that may not be far away, when we too will come to that moment of which Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The yoke is lifted from the oxen, the day of service is over. The problems, the difficulties are resolved, and the things, Lord, the bondage that he knew, he was released forever. Oh, Lord, we're thankful that we too shall experience this. He was posted to another place, and they took the ropes away from the ship as he sailed out from the port of earth. Oh, Lord, we pray that when that day shall come, that in some measure we shall hear his words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, thou art worthy of all praise and honor and worship. We're thankful that we shall join the song of heaven, even as our hearts respond today, saying, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every people and kindred and tongue and nation. And so, Lord, unitedly, we praise thee and give our thanks for Christ the Savior.